Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, December 11th. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's the height of the holiday season. Many of us will be giving or receiving tech gifts this year. So if you have a question about computers or technology, well, we have a pair of experts in the studio to help you troubleshoot. Tony Yang is the operator of Albany-based Gig Computers, which currently manages the computer network right here at WAMC. Also in the studio is Mark Bogosian, owner and operator of Castle Mac Service in Latham. So if you have a computer or technology question, now is the time to call 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Computers, Tony, Mark, you, coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff, here to answer your computer and technology questions today are Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian. Tony started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. His company began as a hobby in college, quickly blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony manages networks for numerous companies and organizations, including this one. Mark is the owner and operator of Castle Mac Service in Latham, New York. With 35 years of experience, Mark offers a range of Macintosh service and tech support. So, if you got an iPhone, if you got a Mac, if you got a PC, if you got a question, now's the time to call 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551 is the number, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Tony and Mark, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Ray.
Hey, Ray, thanks for inviting me back.
So after your last appearance, Mark, you decided that it was going to be okay, and you came back anyway.
Well, the check hasn't cleared yet, so we'll see.
Oh, it'll be a long time. This is public radio, my friend. So what's new, guys?
Gearing up for the holidays. A lot of clients are getting into new systems and trying to tie up loose ends before the end of the year.
Yeah, we got to wrap up a bunch of maintenance stuff that we have to do across our clientele. Before the end of the year, usually we do documentation updates and things like that, make sure everybody is up to date. Other than that, getting ready for the holidays.
Any tips for safety for online shoppers? A lot of people shopping online right about now.
Yeah. Don't click on links that you're not sure about. If the deal sounds way too good, it's probably not a true story. So careful with these links out there.
Right. We're seeing a lot of these pop-up windows that suggest you download something or verify something with your password, and it seems to be a real slew of them lately.
Oh, that's interesting. And I've seen in social media feeds, sometimes you'll see the deal of the day, it'll be a Gibson Les Paul for $150 or something. And, those of us who know a little bit about that stuff will not come close to it. But I could see people going, oh, gosh, what a great bargain. It looks legit. Click. And so how do social media companies keep those ads out of the feeds?
I don't think they do. I think that's why. One of the reasons why Tony and I are in business, to protect and clean up some of that mess that's made. When in doubt, don't click on it is the safest thing you can do.
You make a good point. The number here is 800-348-2551. We talk computers today on Vox Pop, and the line's already beginning to load up. So let's get right to the phones. Kurt in Nassau. Kurt, you're on.
Hi. Hi, guys. Love the program. Love your program presentation.
Thank you.
Ray, you always do a nice job.
Appreciate it.
So I've got a PC running Windows 10 with automatic upgrades, and I'd say in the last month or so, used to be able to go onto a blog, and they'd have a thumbnail of a picture, and a little hand would come up, and I'd click on the picture, and I'd see it. Now I get a black screen with a little icon that says image. Is there maybe a third-party application that it has kicked out or something? It seems to me I remember from past years there was like an Apple program that allowed you to see images, or I don't remember the name. And I can't figure out how to word it to Google it. So I thought live people might help.
Yeah, these guys might be able to help.
Yeah, does the Apple QuickTime add-on for some of these browsers?
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about, Kurt?
It could be.
Yeah. the Mark, I can't think of any other Apple commonly added modules to browsers. You know, one of the things you might want to try, Kurt, is a different browser. Chrome sometimes works better than Microsoft Edge. Firefox also.
I'm still using Explorer, which I know is kind of.
Oh yeah, no. If you're on Windows 10, you should be using Microsoft Edge. Edge has been a vast improvement, but I find Chrome to be generally the most compatible at this point among all the browsers. So you might want to try a different browser, and I think that could take care of the problem.
I think Edge is gaining rapidly on Chrome.
Always do. All these Microsoft products, they're going to gain ground one way or another.
All right, Kurt.
Okay.
Thanks,
man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Good luck. We appreciate it. Have a great holiday. The number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Mark Boghossian and Tony Yang are here to answer your computer and tech questions. Let's see, who's been waiting longest to hear in the early going? Rachel in Leverett, Mass. Rachel, you're on.
Hey, Ray. Thanks for taking my call. It's always great to hear you. I love your program.
Thank you.
The reason I'm calling is my husband and I switched over to Macs about 10 years ago, and largely okay. A couple years ago, we upgraded to whatever it was, MacBook Air, whatever. And I've had some huge problems with my contacts since then. We moved out of Outlook when we switched over to Mac. And what happens is contacts that I've had for many, many years will disappear. And I can find them when I hit Spotlight, when I do control search on the whole machine. And their contact form will show up, but I can't find it in my contact list.
Okay, I think, Rachel, this one came up last time. Mark.
So you're using the Apple Mail application or are you using web?
I am.
And the contact application as well?
That's right.
And when you say they disappear, do you see them in there one day and then not there the next? Or?
Sometimes, yep. Yep. Oh. The most common is that I get doubles and triples of things. And often it's people that I've known for a long time, and all of a sudden it'll show up with just their mobile number and perhaps the thing that says FaceTime.
Right.
And in the only way I can find, for example, what a mailing address is that I know is in the system somewhere and should be in their contact and is not, or a note, any of the notes about, you know, kids' birthdays or whatever.
Right.
And the only way to find those is to Spotlight, is to hit the, whatever it is, control spacebar. And then I can see it, but I can't do anything with it. It won't let me copy anything out of it. So I end up scribbling people's addresses on a piece of sticky note out of the Spotlight. I'm like, this is crazy.
That's old school. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the contacts it keeps its own database, but it could be linked with your Apple ID as well if you use the same contacts through the Apple Cloud on your phone or iPad or another device. Without taking excessive time here, I'd say I'd have to take a look at that.
Really? You can't figure that one out on the phone?
I have to say it's actually stumped our local computer guys who I think are fabulous. So it's we need more time than you can give us. So I get that. I just thought maybe you would have a stroke of something and go, oh, here's the deal. It's this.
The only thing I can think of is I know with duplicates sometimes it's because we're connected to the contacts on another device through the Apple ID, and they're also in the system, so they're shown twice. But short of that, I can't think of any miracle answer right now.
No worries. I appreciate you giving it your shot. So thanks so much.
Sure.
Thanks, Rachel. Thanks for the call, and good luck. Over to Bob. Oh, lovely Danbury, Connecticut. Bob, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon. A couple of weeks ago, I have a Windows-based system, Windows 10. I get a upgrade from Microsoft, so I figure I got to download it. I download it, and now I get the first thing that comes up on my system, which I'm looking at right now, is Holiday Gift Guide from Microsoft. How do I get rid of it?
Oh, boy. Yeah, okay. Tony.
That's a little unusual. Usually, just by doing the updates, it wouldn't download these miscellaneous programs. But Bob, you can certainly go into to the add and remove program and remove some of the add-ons on there, you'll see that each thing that Microsoft have added onto your computer or anybody else that's added to your computer or individualized, you know, into an entire list of different programs on your computer. And the ones that you don't recognize, I encourage you to just go ahead and uninstall it.
Yeah.
The more you uninstall, the better it is for your computer and the less chance that you will have from getting these pop-ups on your computer.
Okay, that's another quick question. You know, I go into uninstall, but I'm afraid to remove something because I figure I'm going to hurt my computer.
Oh, no, no, you're going to be fine. You know the programs that you normally use, the ones that the names that you don't recognize, it is 99.5% of the time safe to go ahead and just uninstall.
Maybe you ought to give your email in case he wants to complain directly to you. Because, you know, Bob, you could just don't mess with the registry, Bob. That's one thing.
That's right. Yeah. But add and remove is fairly safe to do.
Okay. But this is Microsoft holiday gift guide, and they want you to buy products from them.
Oh,
yeah.
Anything good? No, kidding. Of course.
It's just, you know, a gift card for Windows, you
right,
know, and
right.
You know, it just goes on and on. And I went down to the bottom of the page to see if there's a contact. I figured I'd call them to complain, but I don't even see a contact number or anything.
Yeah, you're not going to get anywhere with that.
Yeah.
So just go ahead and install the stuff that you're not familiar with, and I think that would most likely take care of your problem.
Bob, thanks for the call. It's Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian today. We talk computers. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Vox Pop. We'll be back. It's John Scofield's Combo 66. They were at the Egg on Friday night. Oh, what a show. That's the new album from John Scofield, Combo 66, here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here. It's computers today, just in time for holiday gift giving and whatnot. Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian are here to answer your computer and tech questions. A couple of emails here, gentlemen. Actually, looks like four, and then we'll get back to the phones. First one is, hello, my name is Daphne from Red Hook, New York. Well, hello, Daphne. No, it's an email. I have a MacBook and a few of my keys, all the numbers, letters, KLM, the enter key, no longer work. My question is there a way to replace the keyboard instead of having to use an external keyboard? Well, we've all been there, Mark. The keyboard ends up crapping out, and then what happens?
Well, unfortunately, the keyboards are actually built into, they're part of the top part, what's called the top case assembly on all of the MacBooks. So when one or more keys go bad, the entire top case assembly would have to be replaced, which is extremely expensive, well over $400 or $500 generally. If it's a relatively new computer, only Apple can do that repair because of parts availability. If it's an older one, it's pretty much beyond reasonable
repair.
Can't you
get contact cleaner, spritz it out, and go that route?
No, you never want to spray inside.
I got to tell you something. This is one of the problems of technology. It's all this stuff that is surface mounted, all this thing that everything is one piece. You should be able to replace that stuff.
I couldn't agree more with you.
Because you're in the repair business. I see. This one is from Patricia. There are times when I'm in a public space and can see the Wi-Fi network and can connect to it from the networking center, but never get a chance to accept the terms of usage to truly gain access to the Internet. I've opened multiple different browsers, but never get the splash page to authenticate. Any suggestions?
Usually, if you're at a public Wi-Fi network, the splash page comes up automatically. But that's based on the manufacturer of the access point, or the wireless access point that you're logging on to. The program behind it is what opens up the browser automatically. If your browser isn't opening automatically, you might want to just open up, a Chrome browser and type any address on there. It will redirect you back onto the logon page.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So if it doesn't come out automatically,
fair enough.
You know, open up a browser and try to hit Yahoo or something and that's your weed director.
And while we're at it here, talking about Wi-Fi networks in public places, you go to a hotel, maybe you go to a casino for the weekend, you want to log into the hotel casino Wi-Fi. Is that safe to do?
That's a great question, actually. My wife asks me that all the time. So if you, let's say, are doing banking on a public Wi-Fi network.
Right.
As long as that connection is a secure connection, which all banks do, so it'll be an HTTPS connection. When you establish a secure connection, such as HTTPS, it is a endpoint-to-endpoint encryption, which means all that data from your laptop all the way to the bank is encrypted from end to end. So even if somebody, the person who's providing you the network is looking at it, they still can't see the actual content. It's not like it's clear A, B, and C's.
Okay.
It's a bunch of garbled letters to them without the key. The thing that you do want to keep in mind is because you're in a public network, you are more susceptible to being monitored, mm-hmm. meaning they can put a piece of software on your computer with much more ease
yeah.
than a protected network.
Okay.
But if you're just doing banking and other things like that, as long as it's a secure connection, you're going to be fine.
All right, this one is from Brittany. I recently discovered that my front camera and flashlight on my iPhone 7 don't work. I've tried restarting and resetting a few times. Nothing seems to work. Any idea what could be wrong? That's from Brittany in Westfield, Massachusetts.
They're not user serviceable, so unfortunately, you'd have to bring it to an Apple store. It's very likely to be something with one of the three parts inside those devices. So if you've tried restarting, maybe try restoring the software, the iOS. But other than that, it's probably a hardware failure.
You think so? Camera and flashlight being, are they on the same board? Or
well, they're everything. I mean, there's one main board in there, so everything's integrated. So
okay.
If one part goes bad, it could be taking down the whole thing.
All right, fair enough. This one, and it's the last email, and then we'll get back to the phones. This one's from Robert. 10 to 12-year-old MacBook is occasionally going black during DVD playback. Is there a replaceable video card to alleviate the problem? Occurrences are becoming more frequent, and that is from Robert somewhere.
No, none of the MacBooks have a replaceable video card, although I've heard people at Apple tell clients that there is such a part inside. It's one main component. It's the logic board. There is a video processor on the main board, but it's not replaceable on its own. What I would do is try multiple DVDs, try playing other video, maybe from another source, an external source, just to verify that it's not something with that particular video that you're watching.
Or maybe software? I mean,
it could
be
software.
Is there outboard software that you can put on for DVDs like that you can on a PC?
Yeah, there are things like that. It does default to Apple's DVD player, but you could restart with another operating system and try that. Just to verify that it's not a hardware-specific
okay.
problem. But if it is, the video component on the logic board, it's not replaceable.
You know, take this from one who likes to tinker around with PCs, who's had, you know, and I'm not good at it, but, you know, I can replace a power supply or a motherboard or whatever video board.
He's pretty good, Mark. He's pretty good.
The thing is, it's like you're not selling Mac all that well when you say there's nothing that can be user-serviced. I mean, what's up with that, man?
You're right. I'm not selling that.
All right. Fair enough. Not to go all 60 minutes on you here, Mark Bogosian.
Yeah.
Tony Yang, Mark Bogosian are here. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Ron in Hudson Falls. Ron, you're on.
Hello there. Yes. My wife recently bought a Kindle that she uses like 99% just for reading books and mostly at night. And it comes preloaded with Alexa and they don't allow you to remove it. Is there... So we've disabled it, but they make it extremely easy just to inadvertently re-enable it, which he's already done once. Are there firewall settings I could put on my Wi-Fi router to block Alexa traffic and yet let other traffic through?
You know, Ron, nobody has ever asked me that. I ought to look into that. The normally, any type of internet traffic goes through specific ports.
Right.
The problem with that is a lot of the software will, let's say, by default use port 3000. There's a, you know, tens of thousands of ports you can use. Let's say 3,000, and if you start blocking it, it will automatically start using ports like 80, where it's just a regular web browsing port. Yeah, so yeah. It's very, very difficult to do, unless you got a sophisticated firewall where it does packet inspection. It's almost virtually impossible to control.
So you can't permanently disable Alexa?
It's hard, unless you block the entire Amazon network.
Oh.
Yeah, and I don't want to do that. We disabled it, and then like an hour later, she was reading a book, and Alexa started talking to her, and I'm like, she doesn't even know what she pushed on. They make it really easy because they want you to use the Alexa, but she bought it for reading books.
Well, here's a question for you. I know I have this on the iPhone, and I'm not sure whether Kindle has a similar feature, but can you just block the access to your microphone? Can you block Alexa's access to your microphone?
Maybe I can put some tape over the hole where the microphone goes.
That'll work.
Yeah, you know, there's a reason why Facebook CEO puts a tape on his camera on anything that he has. So that's one way of going at it, I guess.
All right. Well, hey, listen. Good luck, and if you think of it, Ron, give us a call back and give us an update on the next computer show.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I enjoyed it. Bye.
Thanks
now.
A lot for the call. 800-348-2551. Mark Bogosian, he handles the Mac end of the thing. And then Tony Yang does the PC side. So you got a question? We might be able to come up with something. Bobby in South Glens Falls. Bobby.
Hey, how are you? Mark and I know each other. It's Bobby the musician from South Glens Falls. How are you, Mark?
Good, Bobby. How are you? Great to
I'm
hear
good.
From you.
Anyway. Listen, I have various Macs over the years. Right now I have two iMacs, two Power, two MacBook Pros. And we generally use Seagate backup drives, you know, 1 terabyte drives as a backup, and that works with Time Machine backups. But God, when you open the Time Machine backups, you have 8 zillion little folders, and it's just bizarre.
Right.
It doesn't look like anything that when the computer screen is on, you can see all these things, and you know, and
yep.
It just seems like is. What's going on there?
Well, it's not meant to be a filing system. That is, it's not meant to be viewed the way it sounds like you're viewing it. The only reason why typical user would want to or need to go into Time Machine would be to restore a file, an application, or a set of files. And there's actually a menu item under the Time Machine icon that says Open Time Machine, which will actually bring you into those layered chronological backups. So if you just look at the hard drive itself like you would any other hard drive, it will seem confusing, and rightfully so, because again, it's not designed to be viewed or accessed or copied that way. So you want it to...
Well, what's the point of it?
Well, only if you go into the restoration mode, and then you would restore something that was deleted or missing or gone for some reason. So if, for instance, you realize you just got rid of your songs file on your desktop, you could enter Time Machine, go to a particular date before the deletion, and hit restore, and it will come back. So you're just
and then,
looking
And these
at,
folders are generally like a date of, they go like, I don't know, monthly, I forget.
They'll
I
go
I
can, every...
I guess I could open one now.
Well, don't bother, but every time it's...
No.
Every time it backs up, it will create a new folder, and it just appends the previous one. So you're just looking in.
Yeah, I see. Okay.
What you're doing is you're looking at how sausage is being made instead of just tasting the sausage.
Wise words indeed, Bobby. Thank you for that, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right, good to hear from you, Bobby.
Mark Bogosian's here. Tony Yang is here. It's Vox Pop Computer Show. 800-348-2551 is the number. We go to Meg in Amsterdam. Hi, Meg.
Hello, gentlemen. Tony, I think this question is more directed at you than at Mark because it's a PC. I built a tower for my husband, a gaming computer, over the summer, and because it was the first computer I've ever built, I kind of let the wires go willy-nilly, and I know there's a backer plate that you're supposed to run the wires through to make it prettier so that the lights in the interior of the tower are illuminated. say, how important is it that I turn off the computer? And because my husband hasn't turned the damn thing off since I built the damn thing, and reroute those wires, and then recover the case.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you did a good job. If he hasn't turned that computer off since he built it, that's real good. You
Very
did a good
cool.
job.
Yeah.
So the way that the cable looks have no impact on the functionality of the PC. You should see my computers, my desktop at home. The wires are all over the place.
Hey, you're a professional.
Oh, that's
don't
right.
Say that.
That's
don't
right.
Say
yeah,
that.
We don't do that at work.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing to keep in mind, I think the only thing to be mindful about is to keep the wires away from the fans.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
Because you got a power supply fan, CPU fan, it could be graphics card fans in there. So just keep them away from these movable parts so that they don't interfere with the operation. Other than that, it's just aesthetics. You cover it up, nobody's going to see
it. But it's been running for a year.
It's,
good
that's
for
right.
her.
Great job.
800-348-2551 is the number. Mark Bogosian and Tony Yang are here to answer your computer and tech questions. And it's time for Steve in Slingerlands. Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I have been seeing or hearing ads for NordVPN lately. And I know that, you know, we're more security conscious now. Is that it? Do you have an opinion on that, on a VPN for protecting your data and stuff?
Yeah, Steve, the VPN service became popular because people wanted to hide the sites that they go to through a VPN connection. So if you want to, to be honest, it is mostly used by people who download things from the internet in somewhat illegal ways.
I
because
see.
if you're downloading content.
So if you're taking a movie for free.
Right, exactly. I have had, not my friends,
okay.
I don't want to disclose that, but I've known people who have gotten their internet connection disconnected from the ISP, such as Time Warner or the Charter, because they're getting a lawsuit from these copyright companies.
Right.
So what you can do is you can sign up for a VPN connection, and then nobody will know where that came
Steve,
from.
So, Steve, what we really need to know is, are you a bootlegger of movies and such?
No. In fact, I'm glad I called because I'm not going to sign up now.
Yeah, that is the most popular use. Other than that, I think most people don't really need that.
Right.
Yeah, no. When you used to be able to download music, I used to get music to hear it, and then I would go out and buy it. In fact, I do. I mean, I just buy, but even if I buy the whatchamacallit, I always go out and buy the disc anyway. So.
Yeah. No, I think for somebody like yourself, VPN doesn't make any sense.
All right. Well, Steve, thanks a lot for the call.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Nice, appreciate it. Let's get another one or two in here before the next break. Jeff in Chatham. Jeff. Hello? Jeff. Jeff, old boy. He's gone. He waited 20 minutes and he's gone. All right. Well, maybe Jeff will call back. We'll put him at the front of the line here. All right. Over to Mark in Schenectady. Mark, you're on.
Hi. This is directed mostly to Mark.
Okay.
I have a MacBook, and it's an older MacBook, but was one of the best browser to use with a MacBook.
I would first try Safari, which is the built-in app that comes with it. Second to that, I like Firefox. And lastly, I'd say Chrome. Chrome, I think, is better if you're using other Google resources like Gmail or Google Drive or things like that. But if you're just doing typical browsing and, you know, accessing your email, things like that, then I would suggest Safari and or Firefox.
I do have Gmail, and I do use Firefox.
Yeah.
But lately I've been finding out with Gmail that it's really slowed down. Now, I do have Wi-Fi in my house. And does that have anything to do with the browser, or could it? Is
well,
it,
it
something
may.
To do with?
Yeah, okay. No, very well. Webmails like Gmail, Yahoo Mail, Hotmail, because they're web-based, there's a lot going on that website, more than just the text that you're reading. So if you have older Flash player or Java, things like that, or even an older browser, it very well could be slowing down because of that. So you'd want to have a current operating system, and therefore the browsers would be up to date with that operating system, and that should eliminate things that could be slowing it down just in the Gmail or email.
All right, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Computers Today on Vox Pop. Tony Yang and Mark Boghossian are here, and we'll be back for the home stretch in a moment. More of John Scofield's Combo 66 here, brand new on Vox Pop. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. It's a computer show today, not a music show. Tony Yang is here, Mark Boghossian, they're answering your questions, and a couple of emails here. This one's from Mark. I still have the following problem. Do you gentlemen have any answers yet? Uh-oh, he doesn't seem too happy. Why is that the KitKat operating system on my smartphone won't allow me to save apps to my micro SD card? There are no apps in the Google Play Store that will help. Older smartphone operating systems do not present this problem. How can I get the KitKat operating system to do what I want it to do? And this is Mark, who's beginning to sound like a broken record. Tony.
Mark, I don't want to lie to you. I didn't look it up.
Oh, boy.
Still don't have an answer, but you know what I will do for you? I'm going to take that email from, get a copy of that email from Ray.
Let me get it out of my filing system.
And I promise I will get back to you with the correct answer on that.
All right, there you go.
We'll work at it until we get it done for
you. And if you find out, can you let me know, too?
I will.
Thank you very much. This one is from Al. I still use AOL, and it draws good-natured comments from people who are surprised that anyone still uses it. Is there a good reason why it should not be used? Is it less secure than Google email or some other email? Or are people just amused because it is not hip? What email do you recommend? I'm PC-based, not Mac. Well, this is interesting. I think I know one person still on AOL Mail.
AOL.
So, I mean, is there any drawback to it in real life, or is it just people being snobby?
Mark, you want to take that one?
Well, at least on the Mac side, I don't know of any major disadvantages other than, it is a little flaky. Some people complain about not getting their mail in a timely manner, not being able to view things consistently every time. And so for free, I think it's one of the undesirable programs you can use or applications. But, I guess flip phones. And AOL, you know.
Okay. So you're on the snobby side of this. What about you, Tony?
No comment on that.
All right, forget it.
Let's comment on that.
Sorry if we could be of no help at all, Al, but, if it's working for you and nothing bad is happening, whatever. The number here is 800-348-2551. John in Postenkill. John, you're on.
Hi there, guys. I have one little answer and a question. The gentleman with the Windows merchandising update, I believe in Windows 10, if you go into settings and recent updates, they'll give you some options about uninstalling the updates. That might be a quicker way to do it.
Yeah, you make a point. Is that it?
The question for the gentleman is, how do you uninstall or get Windows to stop running Windows Edge and Windows 10.
How do you get it to stop running Windows Edge? So you mean Microsoft Edge?
Yeah.
The Microsoft Edge, believe it or not, is a uninstallable portion of Windows.
So it's part of the system that you cannot uninstall.
It is part of the system that you can uninstall. However, keep in mind that it is a very, very integrated part of Windows. So there could be some automated functions that may not work from time to time if you don't have Edge on there. I would recommend not uninstalling it, but just leave it dormant in there in case you do need it, and just use Firefox or Chrome or another browser. You can even try Safari on there, but Chrome and Firefox tend to be the more popular choices. So that's my recommendation.
I understand that. Yeah. Not a problem. What I'm getting at is that we normally put the PC desktop to sleep when people are done using it, and we have it running through a DSL line in a router.
Gotcha.
And for some reason, Windows 10 sometimes leaves Edge running so that it interferes with the wireless. It takes bandwidth away from the wireless connection. And if when we restart or wake up the computer and try to clean out all of the old files before we go browsing again, it says, do you want to shut down Windows Edge, which means Edge has been running.
I've seen that before. I know exactly what you're talking about. When you run anti-spyware or something, it'll say, we need to shut down these browsers, and you'd be like, I don't have Edge on.
Right. So most of these...
There you go.
Most programs does have a what they call the initial resident program. What it does is it helps it to load faster.
Right.
When you click on it. You do have the option of going into your startup, the Windows startup menu to uncheck softwares that start as you load up Windows. And that's probably...
Oh, that's a good idea.
You know, and Ray, you mentioned that a few times with other softwares.
Yeah.
So you can go into Windows settings and disable some of the startup programs that gets loaded.
But Tony, you would not... Go ahead, John.
We've tried that, and you cannot disable the startup for Windows Edge. So that's the basis of the question.
Now, I assume Tony would say this is a bad idea because he says, but I mean, why can't you go into your software firewall and say, I'm not giving this program access to the internet if you're not going to use it anyway. But Tony, you say that's a bad idea because?
Well, you have to shut off port 80, which is the regular browsing port for all the other browsers to go onto the internet.
Well, some software firewalls will say, here's your list of programs. Do you want to access this to access the internet? Can't you just say no?
Yep. So if you get the right EXE file for the for Microsoft Edge, you can do that. You can stop it from going out to the internet. So that is another option.
But you say there may be some drawbacks in that there are updates and such and parts of that are
right.
Integral to the system.
It's just like Microsoft Internet Explorer back then. There are programs that just by default loads into Explorer instead of another browser.
Right.
And it can take several different steps to actually correct that.
Okay.
Microsoft Edge is kind of the same thing. It is such an integrated part of Windows that there will be programs out there that has automatic functions necessary. It goes to the web and registers itself. It will pick Edge versus other browsers because it is just programmed to be that way. So you may run into problems here and there, but it probably won't occur that often.
Okay.
And certainly, you know, you can give it a shot. But I don't use Edge, but I leave it on my computer.
All right. Let's go over to Mark in Pennsylvania. Where are you in Pennsylvania, Mark?
I'm in Montrose.
Nice to have you on the show. You're on with Tony Yang and Mark Bogosian.
All righty, thank you. My computer, the last couple times I tried to use it, it would start beeping. What I do is I shut it down when I'm done using it. It would start beeping. When I started it back up, and it would say some kind of security alert, and then I would unplug it, plug it back in, and it was fine. Now, all it does is beep. It won't even allow me to do anything else. I'm assuming this thing is crashed. Is that correct? Or...
It's a Mac or a PC?
It's a PC.
Do Macs crash? Humor. Just humor.
Windows
just humor.
Got Windows 7 on it.
You just had to start that, didn't you?
Yes,
Ray?
I did. Yes, I did. All right. Anyway, go ahead, Tony. I'm sorry.
Hey, Mark. The security alert... I would get a bootable CD and scan your computer for viruses first, because it almost sounds to me like you might have something in the boot sector of your drive.
How would he obtain a bootable CD if he does not have one?
You're gonna have to make one from another computer.
Okay.
Most antivirus softwares out there will allow you to make a bootable scan disk. It won't be the full version, but it's good enough to detect most of the boot sector viruses. So that's number one. Number two is you may want to try just unplugging. This solves a lot of problems sometimes. When the PCs are plugged in, or any type of computer is plugged in, even though you have shut off, you do a shutdown on your computer, there's still residual power on the system. You want to unplug that and just just push the power button a few times to completely clear it out of every capacitor, resident memory on your PC, and then start it up and see if that that does anything for you. So take those two routes, and hopefully one of them will work for you.
Okay, Mark,
thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551. Jerry in Chatham. Jerry.
Hi. So there's this great sale on an iPad, and I have a Kindle that I use for reading books and magazines. Now, I'm just wondering, what can I do with this iPad that is better than my Kindle?
Oh, they're pretty great.
It's a bigger screen, but... will it replace my Kindle or just augment it, or what are these people's thoughts on that?
Well, there is an iPad application, an app for Kindle books, so you should be able to log into your account and continue reading what you've been reading. In addition, though, the iPad is almost like a small computer. That is, you can do email, browsing, a number of applications ranging from home finance to entertainment. So it brings you closer to having a personal computer from what you've got now with just the Kindle reader device.
They're pretty great, Jerry. I mean, I don't work for them, and I gotta say,
my daughter keeps telling me
they're pretty awesome. Yeah,
yeah. It just brings you one step closer to having a personal computer, a laptop.
So device. I have an auxiliary laptop. I use a smaller one for travel. Now, the iPad would sort of replace that.
It very well could. I wouldn't recommend it if you're going to be typing a great deal, that is, creating Word documents or doing a lot of email, because the virtual keyboard does get a little cumbersome. But no, for traveling.
Can you get an auxiliary keyboard?
You can, yes, absolutely. You can get a small external or
like
one that's built into a case. Yep.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Many cases come with them now.
So okay.
That
looks
might
like,
be a nice evolution.
Let it go.
All right, man.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Have a great holiday season. And Max in New Paltz. Max.
Hello, yeah. Thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure.
My question is, I have a Windows 10 PC, and I have Chrome, and I also have Edge. Edge works fine, but my Chrome, for some reason, doesn't show videos. I've tried updating and what have you, but I don't know what happens. It shows up black every time.
This is just on the Chrome that's doing that.
Yeah.
You know, there are some sites that are not as compatible for certain browsers as others. The Chrome is fairly good at putting in the built-in basic things that will allow you to watch video and things like that.
I must say it used to work, but yeah. I don't know why it's not
I wonder
anymore.
If this is a flash issue. The most recent Chrome update, and I've been meaning to talk to Tony about this, about my work computer here, the most recent one, it basically you have to enable the flash, and I've tried to do it on my work computer, and it won't let me install flash anymore. I have it on my home computer, but it allows me to manually say, okay, use flash. I wonder if this might be a flash issue for you, Max.
Yeah, a lot of the videos are based on flash these days. You know, Max, one of the things you might want to try is just uninstall Chrome off your computer.
That's an idea.
Completely. Reboot the computer and then download Chrome, the latest version of Chrome, and reinstall it. That, a lot of times, does solve the problem.
Okay, I'll try that. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I'll try it too.
Thanks,
then. Thank you for that, Tony. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Iris in Stone Ridge. Hello, Iris.
Hi. So glad to talk to you.
Hi.
So I had a very bizarre occurrence just today when I was using my Dell laptop, and pretty much out of the blue, it seemed as if an entity had taken over my computer. They were moving the cursor, flashing screens in extremely like lightning fast. And when I tried to move the cursor towards the X to close down any screens that were open, it was as if an unseen hand was, you know, jerking the cursor back.
Yikes.
This went on for 10-15 minutes while I was even taking photographs and video of what was happening. And I finally did a forced shutdown. And some of the things that kept happening was Cortana was showing up, saying, can I do this for you or that for you? Adobe Acrobat was asking, do you want Adobe to be your default reader? And wow. And then Microsoft Edge looked like he was trying to install itself.
Yikes!
Did it do it after the restart? Pardon me. After you restarted?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Sorry. I was in the middle of using it normally on email. And the only two things that had happened that were at all unusual, a single drop of liquid had dropped on the trackpad. And I had just wiped it left and right a little bit. And then all that action started right after that.
Well, Occam's razor says, well, that's the culprit.
Right.
May not
right.
be. But, Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, it also sounds like maybe, you know, there's either a virus or a spyware thing on your computer because it is flashing, she said.
Yeah.
Right, Iris.
But if the track is moving around constantly, it could give you that all flashing through different screens all the time, right?
Right.
The I'm hearing that you're actually seeing flashing on your screen itself, not that it's changing from one frame to the other.
It was changing from one frame to another to another to another. There was no flashing. It was just that the screens were opening so rapidly.
Yeah, so
and
that
even a document from 2011 was opened randomly, so seemingly randomly.
It probably highlighted things on its own. I know if it was a Mac, the trackpad one is very sensitive to liquid, foreign substances like that. And two, when they do go bad, it's exactly what you described, at least on the Mac, where it'll randomly click on things. It'll go open up a file and then, you know, select and click on 20 different files so other things start to open.
Yeah, Iris, it is just as sensitive on a PC. One suggestion would be to disable the trackpad, touchpad on your laptop and plug in like an external USB mouse for now and see if that solves the problem. If that does, then you know the touchpad is the issue.
But you could take it off the internet and do a virus scan anyway, just to be on the safe side.
Yes. Yep. Scan it with your antivirus software with the latest definitions and one of those will hopefully take care of that problem for you.
Iris, thanks for the call. In the last 40 seconds here, Tony, very quickly, if it was liquid on that and it's a laptop, PC laptop, can you take the top off and get some distilled water and some solvent in there and clean it out, or is that thing a goner?
It depends. The touchpad, fortunately, is a replaceable component. It's just a modular component that you can unplug and replace with a new one. You may get lucky by taking it apart and just wiping it.
Yeah.
Get it dry, but once the water gets inside the other component, it's going to be very, very tough.
Ever tell you about the time my daughter spilled lemonade in our nice keyboard?
That happens more than you think.
Wasn't a very happy ending. Hey, but this is the end of the show. Tony Yang, how do people find Gig?
At www.gigsystems.com.
Mark Bogosian, Castle Mac.
CastleComp.com.
Guys, thanks for being here today. Support comes from State Street Fruit Store, Deli Wines and Spirits, downtown Northampton, a locally owned, community-minded grocery and specialty food store since 1922. Wine tastings every Friday, 4 to 7, statestreetfruit.com. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, for over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Dr. Lucy Chapik, Latham, New York, practicing aesthetic plastic surgery, working to help people improve their appearance and well-being, offering cool sculpting treatment at more, CAPEKplasticsurgery.com. At Rhinebeck Artist Shops, professional picture framing and fine art materials, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, and at 793 Broadway in Kingston, RhinebeckArt.com. Thanks again to Tony Yang of Gig Computers and Mark Bogosian of Castle Mac Service for joining us today. Thank you for listening and for the great questions today. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered by Jesse King. Our producer, Jim Lavoulis. Tomorrow, Rich Guthrie will nest in Studio A. It's birds. Right now, stand by for news.